And now we come to the lecture of the 3rd of July, 1920. Rudolf Steiner starts. He says, "Yesterday I attempted to present the sort of earnestness of the times in which we stand in reference to the consideration which connected itself to the book of Oswald Spengler entitled The Decline of the West. I noticed that I brought to your attention, I made the remark, that person who today knows how to take the things with the necessary earnestness what will come over him will be a culture, a worry about culture. That sadness about culture which permits itself to be characterized in a quite definite way, namely the worry and the anxiety about culture which proceeds from the fact that our civilization cannot develop itself further without an Einschlag, without something coming in from the side of initiation science. That it will be necessary that every activity, every will impulse of the human being should be fructified by that which today can be spiritually perceived. Then, when the threshold which is between the physical and the superphysical world is stridden, when you stride over it, out of that knowledge, which can take nothing out of the physical world, but which can be absolutely, thoroughly illuminating for this physical world, there must, out of this knowledge, must come the impulses for the social life in the present time and in the near future. And today, man is predisposed to consider everything as antiquated, which penetrates in out of a culture streaming which is brought back from the past. Man today is predisposed factually. All the questions which can give itself, push it into that corner, that vision corner, which is given through this initiation science. This worry about culture yields itself then when one sees by the side of that how from all sides, against that which wants to make itself valid as such an initiation science, from all sides attacks are made upon it, and how all external forces of civilization in the present time are focused upon the fact of not permitting to allow such an initiation science to become a real factor in our civilization. There you see, contrasting with each other, on the one hand, a necessity for something, and on the other hand, a rejection for something, for that very thing which people need in all domains of our present life. It's that very initiation science which could rebuild our life of our culture and civilization. In spite of that, you see the ancient spiritual streams which are led into our modern civilization and which show that they must lead into catastrophe. I told you that our spiritual science can give you a really astonishment when you realize that which is present as the primal wisdom, ancient wisdom of mankind. Primal wisdom in its actual form has been lost, and only its later residues can be found in different documents and certain things that you can dig out from the ground. Most important of things, that particular church which spread itself out in the West over Africa and the Near East with a very great carefulness. It destroyed all these ancient documents connected with the ancient wisdom. That which has been left over, the modern intellectuals can't understand. Modern initiation science can really understand that which is contained from the ancient primal wisdom, which came in an atavistic way and was supplied by the gods. Now, our modern intellectuals find in their researches that the ancient mysteries, there was a kind of cult of the sun. But they don't understand what this means at all. In those ancient mysteries, the sun, this physical sun, which the physical eye can perceive, was regarded as a kind of reflection of that which was the spiritual sun. But this spiritual sun was not bound up with any given place. This spiritual sun existed outside the spatial element. The spiritual sun was that which the initiate took up into himself, and which the initiate took up as the central spirituality of the world and made it into his own being. Present initiation science can understand when these ancient people have said to themselves, if you, earth dweller, want to lift yourself up to that which is the origin of your own being, then you are not permitted to remain upon this earth. You see upon this earth minerals, plants, animals. You see also your physical fellow human beings. All that is indeed earthly. But in you there is living something which is not earthly. And even if you know everything that can be known about the minerals, about the plants, about the animals, and about the physical human beings, so you do not at all know about that which can lead you to a knowledge of the essential nature of the human being. Because this essential nature of the human being can never be known through a knowledge which relates itself to the earthly. Because this essential nature of man is not related with the earthly, but is related with the super-earthly, which is in connection in the first place with the light of the sun. So the people in the mysteries of the ancient of antiquity were demanded of them, if they want to know their own being, in order to fulfill the proposition, man, know thyself, then you have to turn your spiritual glance up to the sun in the spiritual sense, because upon the earth there is nothing to be found of that which constitutes the essential nature of the human being. Only when you understand the complete fullness of this central concept of those ancient mysteries, which in a certain point of time can be found likewise in the Near East as well as upon Ireland. Only when you can see through this secret-filled connection of the human soul with the sun being, and you can say to yourself, human beings of the ancient antiquity had to go beyond the earth in order to find their own being. Only when you realize that, then you can get a correct idea of the whole significance of the mystery of Golgotha for earth life. Because only then can you see into the fact that there a great cosmic event occurred which had a fundamental central significance for the earth. Only through that could you see into the fact that that being to whom those sun worshippers looked up, that being whose spiritual countenance was experienced when they looked up to the sun in order to experience the essential nature of the human being, that they now, if they participated in the correct sense in the stream of the times, would say to themselves, that being which in the ancient mysteries was sought outside the earth, that being is descended and has united himself with the earth. How can you then achieve an idea of the nature of the Christ, of the whole process of the mystery of Golgotha, in any other way than through the fact that one saw how that being that previously was not upon the earth, that previously could only be sought in the extra-earthly regions, how that being, from the mystery of Golgotha onwards, could be found in the world of human beings, if it was sought in the correct way in the world of human beings. It's only then that you get a correct idea of what we are presenting from the anthroposophical viewpoint about the mystery of Golgotha, when you evaluate it and compare it with that which was thought in the ancient mysteries about the worship of the sun and the sun wisdom. Only then do you know correctly what it means when one speaks of the Christ, of the sun spirit in the present time. This was attempted in my lectures, which were then presented in the book Christianity as a Mystical Fact, to show how all pre-Christian life was a rising up to the mystery of Golgotha, and how the mystery of Golgotha calls forth upon the world historical plane as a mystery for the whole mankind, that which was presented in single symbolical and allegorical ways, which was condensed itself in ritual in the ancient mysteries, was merely a reflection of that which now as reality became the mystery of Golgotha for the whole of mankind. So from the very beginning, the anthroposophical stream emphasized the fact of it being able in the correct way to place the mystery of Golgotha within earth evolution. And in the subsequent lectures, it was always attempted to characterize that special progress which occurred from the pre-Christian right into the Christian age. So it's necessary that you really understand how those streams which come into the present time as a certain spirituality out of the ancient times, how you can relate yourself to these things. And for that reason today, I want to point to the following, and tomorrow I will talk more about it. If you make yourself familiar with that which has maintained itself in the Christian confessions as rituals, in the evangelical churches this has been for greatly dampened down, but you do find in the Catholic rituals much, and some has also passed over into the evangelical domains. When you all take all that, so you find little that you can really understand earnestly if you do not proceed from spiritual science, and if you're not able to take that which has come down as the husks of words and permeate that with spiritual scientific knowledge. If you take, for example, the ritual of the Mass or another ritual of the Catholic Church, so you will find words. You will find many words. However, you find that when you perceive these things honestly, that you can take up these words, that the faithful can take up these words, but, however, only if you enter into these words with complete earnestness, then you are able to unite with these words a real sense. In the evangelical churches, it is indeed not different. What is the origin of that? You see, if one factually, and above all things, with the means of spiritual science, investigates something like the Catholic ritual of the Mass, and for other rituals it is very similar, then you arrive at the fact that these things are much, much older than the founding of Christianity. If you take the ritual of the Mass, so one, in order to understand its content, has to go back into very ancient forms of the old mysteries. In a certain similar way, there was preceded in a ritual in the ancient mysteries how, in the course of the ritual of the Mass, was done. And the situation is this, that when the mystery of Golgotha occurred within the earth development, as it were, the wise people, the really wise people of all the mysteries which are represented in the Bible through the three wise men out of the East, as it were, brought as a sacrifice their ritual, their perception, and their knowledge in order to give reverence to the mystery of Golgotha and to take hold of it. It was, as it were, carried over that which was brought and offered to the old gods, that was offered to the new God who was going through the mystery of Golgotha. So that when one, I might say, wants to permeate with spiritual juice the formulae of the present church, one arrives at such a spiritual juice only when one looks back to the sense which in the mysteries was united with these things. Otherwise they remain empty. Otherwise they remain without content. And if they remain empty, if they remain without content, then one can, with that, send to sleep all the communities, all the congregations. You can send them to sleep, but you cannot wake them up. You cannot really bring them to a real union with the spiritual world. You can only take care for the fact that this congregation in their soul members fall into a beautiful sleep. But we are living today in a time in which actually people must be awakened. That you're able to see out of such a consideration as that which we have presented yesterday. For many centuries, one has sent people to sleep, insofar as one has brought up as tradition, as something which has been handed down, something which actually has its origin in the ancient mysteries, and of which the actual meaning content has been lost. In such things, whose words have been borrowed from the ancient mysteries, those ancient mysteries in which one didn't just have the words, but in which they had the inner meanings. So, in such things which one has borrowed from the ancient mysteries, in such things have the religious confessions been able to obtain something which they can, as it were, work magically upon the wide circles of the congregations so as to send them into a soul sleep. Because with the husks of the words, there remains in a certain sense certain effects. And these effects are what these confessions want to preserve. They do not want to lose these possibility of these workings. When, therefore, today, a spiritual stream makes its appearance, which out of primal knowledge points upon the content of these things, then obviously that is very, very dangerous to those people who want to preserve the empty word husks. One can easily say that the churches preserve these empty word husks. But the modern sense, which makes itself valid in all sorts of possible movements of the modernistic way, they don't bother about these confessions. Above all things, you can do a great deal to explain that modern science can say, we've gone beyond these word husks. We are enlightened. But one is not enlightened if, for example, in the sense of modern natural science, you establish a world conception as the modern monists do, as it has these conceptions which want in some way to influence modern social organization. These enlightened people are not really enlightened, because this modern science is nothing other than a continuation of those word husks. Even though they don't know it, they are actually that. You study today natural science, and in the moment in which you have advanced up to the laws of nature, then you have only the distillate of the Middle Age husks of words, in which even in the Middle Ages much more was present of the ancient sense than is present in science. So it's no wonder that we're living in a time of decay. But on the other side, you can see that the carriers of such knowledge try very much so that people do not know the actual origin. A great portion of the modern attempts in the different confessions which have helped to drive the West into catastrophe, that focus itself to use all possible means to battle upon that particular spiritual science which points to the origin of those word formulations which are contained in the single Christian confessions. Precisely the official presenters of the Christian confessions to the highest degree are making all attempts not to permit to come to the surface anything which can point to the origin of their word formulas. Because through that, if that knowledge comes, then they will no longer be able to keep their congregation and to maintain them in sleep. Since in the moment where you pour into these word formulations real spirit, in the moment where people find themselves ready to take up such a spirit, in this moment one sees how you can't continue to go further with the sleeping of the soul, with allowing souls to go asleep. True, perhaps the souls continue to be sure to want to sleep, but then they cannot find the necessary rest in this sleep. At least they begin to dream about all sorts of things. In case the person can regard the present confessions correctly only when the person says to himself, in these confessions there are inserted the word husks for great world mysteries. But the carriers of these word husks today are striving to deny this origin and to persecute all those people who point to this origin. Let us take a concrete example. It can be on the sides of the evangelical professors or the pastors. It could be on the sides of the Catholics. It can be on the sides of the university, pastors of natural history, of physiology, of mathematics, or things like that, of astronomy. Shortly, upon the side of that sort of all the little popes of every direction, either the atheistic popes or the theistic popes, you will find today that one is very, very happy about things like that. And you can find how that particular sentence is applicable when people say people are making fun of their own selves and they don't know how. This is all these confessions. From where do they have that which they give out of their different religious books which they impart to their sleeping, believing souls? They get it out of the Akashic Chronicle. But what they want to do is to wipe away any traces of it. There should be wiped away, eliminated, that which has been extracted in the ancient atavistic clairvoyance out of the Akashic Chronicle, that which in all religious traditions, documents, including the Bible, that which is inserted in that, in those religious documents, including the Bible. When, therefore, in the present time, someone comes and points to this Akashic Chronicle and says, all that is absolute nonsense, then he, with that, obviously says that it's nonsense what he's teaching, because what he's teaching comes from that same source of the Akashic Chronicle, which he calls to be nonsense. And so these very sources are denied. That's the corrupting things in our age, because that sends souls to sleep. That brings human beings all over into the most confusing judgments, even in everyday life. That causes that one really can be a belonger of the, one can be an adherent of the anthroposophical oriented spiritual science, and still you have not so far advanced that one can see these things that are going on with open eyes, that one doesn't realize the very definite connections. And so when you look into it, in the main, these things are interpreted, generally speaking, in the reversed way. If one wants really to penetrate into these things, then one must take into mind quite other things if you really want to have a judgment of what actually is occurring in the streams of civilization development. You have to know about the fact that almost every 12th sermon, which is in the field of the Catholic Church, it just throws attacks against Freemasonry. You all know a well-known phenomenon. Now, this attacking and raging against the Freemasons, this proceeds from certain centers who know very well what they are doing. For example, this goes out from certain Western centers, because we have to do here, upon the one side, with the Roman Church stream. I do not say with Christianity, but with the Roman Church stream, because there are very few Christians, but there are a very large number of people who are attached to the Roman Church. We have, on the one side, to do with a whole series of secret societies which are existing in the English-American lands, Anglo-American countries. And I have indeed, during the war, pointed to the tendencies, to the goals of such secret societies. There exists such secret societies of the very different colorations. Those who are in the so-called lower grades of such secret societies, generally speaking, know very little about what the intentions and the goals are of their superiors. But even within the upper layers, there exists the manifold streams. Of such a stream, which again inserts itself into a complete totality, we will not today consider. We will only limit ourselves to one such stream. To one such stream I would like today to speak. See, there exist such streams which build themselves up upon Freemasonry.
Please turn the cassette over for the completion of this lecture.
Now, the Freemasonry had in the first place for its adherents three grades, which even today, taken in the main, are word husks, word formulations, ritual husks, ritual formulations, out of which you can find a real sense and meaning if you can throw light upon them from what comes from modern spiritual knowledge. But with such societies, and which so create their three lowest grades, one can always look a person who has sufficient spirit in himself can follow very correctly the rituals which are used, because these rituals rest upon ancient ceremonies, ancient mystery ceremonies. And it can, in a certain sense, to be sure, when you do not merely permit this ritual to just work upon you, but if you illuminate it with spiritual scientific knowledge, you can get an inkling of how you have the connection between that which was conducted in the mysteries before the mystery of Golgotha, and between that which is the task of mankind after the mystery of Golgotha. But now, in many such Freemasonry streams, they are permeated in these three grades by a great totality of higher grades. Above the three lower grades, you have a whole totality. Above the three lower grades, a whole totality of higher grades. I want to emphasize the fact that I'm speaking now not in general about the high grades, but upon certain high grades of certain Freemasonry orders and other occult orders, like the Order of the Odd Fellows and so on. Again, not of all that which upon this domain, it's very important, because in this domain it's very difficult to make a distinction between to distinguish from the genuine to the non-genuine. But I'm speaking of certain very well spread streams in this domain. There it is built upon the three lowest grades in which the human beings are initiated into the concept of man know yourself. They are initiated into the mysteries of death and its connection with the course of the cosmos. There is built up a whole system of higher grades. Many of these orders has Fünf und Neunzig, 95 grades. You can just imagine yourself how proud you can be if you have been initiated into the 95th grade. Now, you cannot really conceive of how empty these initiations are, because ordinarily speaking, there is something very deep lying behind those empty word husks. But they are there. They have, to be sure, I might say, certain ranks, certain tendrils, certain shoots of these word husks, they have a certain content. There is inserted in these word husks, nevertheless, a great deal, and always it is reckoned with by those who give such word husks that there do exist some people who meditate about them, who contemplate about the fact that there must be something inserted in them. Now there exists something very remarkable. When now people come along who think about that which is contained in these high grades, people in which they have been initiated in it, they give people who begin to think when they are initiated into these high grades, then the result of all this produces a quite definite consequence. When these people already have thought and contemplated in the three lower grades, and at least have an inkling of what is in these three lower grades, then after that, when they go up into the higher grades, they pour a certain frightful cloud about that which has been surmised in the three lower grades. And without most people in their consciousness getting clarity about these things, they are clouded over. They in these three higher grades, they become fuddled. And what is the reason for that? The reason for that is that in certain periods, at the end of the 18th century and at the beginning of the 19th century, even right into our times, certain people have had infiltrated into those Freemasonry orders. They got inside these, and have developed these higher grades within the Freemasonry in such a way that a number of these higher grade Freemasonry orders contain within them these foreign bodies. Higher grades built up by foreign personalities who infiltrated into them. These people who are, even when they are initiated into these things, are very easy believers. And if you want to know the names of these people who infiltrated into the Freemasons, these are the members of the Society of Jesus. These are the Jesuits. In a certain point of time, from the end of the 18th century, they're infiltrated into these Freemasonry, these Jesuits, and they occupied in certain orders the higher grades. So that in Jesuitism, you find a great deal which tries to attack the Freemasons, and a great deal of sermons against the Freemasons. Nevertheless, in the high grades of Freemasonry, you find much of pure Jesuitism. This the Jesuits themselves know. And even though they might attack the Freemasons, it's all part of the realm of some political machinations in order that they can direct humanity in the way they want to direct it. If one wants to achieve a certain goal, then you can take people and point them in one direction. Then, however, you can also point them in another direction. And in this way, by pointing them in two different directions, you can make them dumpf and sleepy. And in this way, you confuse people so much, then you can direct them where you want to direct them. They don't know if they're coming or they're going. And then the Jesuit society can do what they want to do. Our public life is in the most manifold way permeated by such confusing streams. These people would have all sorts of causes to people today ought to wake up and to see the things in the right sort of way. You don't have to fall a victim to these things. But most people do fall a victim to these things. All you have to do is just to focus upon a long life in order to know how people with whom one was quite young and who still are living, instead of taking a certain spiritual scientific direction, have gone back into the bosom of the Catholic Church. I know many examples of that. It's important today that our anthroposophical friends should be pointed to such things, should take these things very earnestly, and this earnestness is lacking today. You have to know about the fact that upon the ground of the anthroposophical-oriented spiritual science, we are dealing with a very important turning point. Obviously, in the first place, this spiritual science, the spiritual scientific movement must begin, and tomorrow I will amplify these things more. Today I'm just giving the threads, and tomorrow I will go into much more exactly to things in this domain. It's necessary to impart a certain totality of spiritual truths. There we stand in front of the necessity, in front of the unconditioned necessity of making practical these spiritual truths. This turning point should make us really take care. As long as the anthroposophical movement was simply a spiritual scientific movement, a movement of teaching, of the spreading of ideas, so long it was that which, as it were, continued to go on into a stream which was a sort of spiritual stream. There all sorts of cliques could build, could form, all sorts of nebulous mysticism could make itself valid among its adherents. But the spirit always creates its own straight path, and it proceeds right through these cliques, right through prejudices, right through self-seeking. In the moment where anthroposophical-oriented spiritual science wants to insert itself into social life, where it wants to become practical, as it does since more than 1 year, it's no longer possible that we stand in front of new soul tasks without taking up these soul tasks with the necessary earnestness. It must be understood that you can't proceed further with all this game-playing, all this false mysticism, which has inserted itself into our people, which is going to work in a very destructive way. While you're playing with all these things, something important is going on in the world. I hope I can call forth a resonance in those souls who are really concerned with the important things in the present time. On the sides of our opponents, they know very well what to do. And the opponents show that you don't have to be a genius in order to find the means effective to produce their ends. Before I went on my journey, I gave a public lecture, which was entitled The Truth About Anthroposophy and Its Defense Against the Untruthfulness Hurled Against It. Brochures are appearing, entitled The Mystery of the Temple of Dornach. Then another one, A Historical Thing About Theosophy and Its Adherents, by Max Cooley, the priest of Alzheim, an attempt to give an expose about the methods of Steiner and his occult schools. Steiner in his judgment as a would-be theologian, Steiner as a finance man, and Steiner in his newest role as a sociologist. It's a quite neat pack of stuff that people are writing now. Also in this neat pack of stuff, there are articles coming from the evangelical clerical side. So both the Jesuits and the priests and the evangelicals are all ganging up against us. Tacks, for example, entitled A False Prophet. I'm asking you members of the Anthroposophical Society not to come to me and say, look, I was here and there in that church, and he gave a speech, he gave a sermon, and he spoke quite anthroposophically. Don't let that fool you. Lots of things are going on all around you. And tomorrow, in a still more earnest way, we will continue to amplify today's theme.